been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they're as asleep. In the morning they lack the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Lord of glory is his name. The Lord of glory, his title to fame. The Lord of glory, he ransomed me. The Lord of glory, his face I'll see. The Lord of glory, the sinner's friend. The Lord of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The Lord of glory is coming again. What a Savior. What a book is the Bible. Could I admonish you? Make the Bible the number one book of your life. Read it through, take it in, write it down, work it out, and pass it on. Well, you saw the baptismal service. What a blessed thing that is. But there were actually two baptisms. The young lady that was baptized, and then Brother Rigby's cell phone that dropped into the baptistry earlier in the evening. So it's a sanctified cell phone now. By the way, did you remember to cut yours off? I've been in a lot of church services. By the way, I was in a large church not too many months ago, and right down on the front seat, there sat a woman, her telephone rang, and boy, she just answered it and talked just like, hey, where am I? If yours rings, make sure it's a call from heaven or we're going to expose you. There's been some reminiscing, as we all do, and I was thinking as I sat here on the platform and I jotted down some things, I have been privileged to be raised and brought up in a pastor's home. I would not take anything for those experiences. And my dad brought in some of the greatest fundamental preachers of the 20th century. Dr. J. Frank Norris, Dr. Louis Ensminger, Dr. G.B. Vick, Dr. Harold Smith, Mordecai F. Ham. Wow, he was a prophet sent from God. When I have time sometime, I'll tell you some stories about him, his great ministry. Dr. Harold Seitler, Oliver Green, R.B. Lakin. Just to name some of the great preachers of yesteryear, it was my privilege to sit under. You young people, listen to me. Hear every great preacher that you can. As they sang The Uncloudy Day, God bless you, young men. You did a good job with all of them. That was Dr. Norris's favorite hymn. That and From Greenland's Icy Mountains to India's Coral Sea. We sang it every Sunday in the choir. I was a choir member at the First Baptist Church, downtown Fort Worth, 57 years ago. Wow, what experiences we had, and how we thank God for those things. And we praise God for the history of this great church and for what God has done and is doing, and we believe will continue to do in the days to come as Jesus delays his coming. We know his return is imminent, which simply means he could come at any moment. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long will we shout the glad song? Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know one of my favorite Beatitudes, Blessed is the preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. I think I've used enough. Open your... Oh, lest I forget. When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Exodus, chapter number 6. As you're finding your place in Exodus, the 6th chapter, I would remind you again that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Exodus chapter number 6, I began reading at verse 1. I read down through verse number 8 for your hearing after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the Holy Spirit and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the blessings of this day. We thank You for 53 years of this church's history. And as our Lord would delay His coming, I pray that the days to come would be even greater years with more souls won to Christ, more of the gospel proclaimed here at home and around the world. Bless these young men as they continue forth in their ministry. Bless every person in attendance tonight. And may the Lord Jesus be honored in all that is done. We pray in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Exodus chapter number 6 at verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. The man who denies the existence of God attempts to make himself a God. The psalmist in 14:1 describes those type people. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I remember about 1967 when a group of self-styled, half-baked liberal theologians over in the state of Georgia you guys weren't even around in 1967, so we know you didn't do it. But they came out with this obnoxious, sacrilegious, blasphemous theory that God is dead. I had questions for them then. I have questions now. Who preached his funeral? Who were the pallbearers? Who sang? Where did they bury him? Why didn't they notify the next of kin? In answer to that, I wrote a simple little poem. God is dead, the theologians say. But I know he's not. I talked with him today. Dead never to live again, they claim, but alive to save through his son's dear name. Alive, alive, let it be said, God will be living when the theologians are dead. Once upon a time, God and Moses had a dialogue, a two-way conversation. In essence, God said to Moses, "Go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." Moses said, "Now, Lord, when the people ask who sent you, what is his name, what shall I say?" And God said, "Tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am." In the 8 verses that I read you in my text, God identifies himself 4 times. Verse 2, "I am the Lord." Verse 6, "I am the Lord." Verse 7, "I am the Lord." Verse 8, "I am the Lord." He's the God of creation. He's the God of the covenant. He's the God of the consummation of all things. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of all grace and mercy and peace and comfort and kindness and compassion and love and life and light and liberty and power and majesty and dominion and goodness and greatness and gentleness and judgment. He's the God of justice. He's the God of all eternity. Hallowed be his name. Thank God. He is Lord. I've entitled this message, "God Is, God Can, and God Will." God is not a silent God. Over 2,500 times in the Old Testament, we have the words, "Thus saith the Lord," or "The Lord said." Hebrews chapter 1, Paul puts it this way, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance hath obtained a more excellent name than they." God has spoken. God is now speaking. God will continue to speak. He will speak through his word. When God speaks, everybody should listen. Have you heard what God said? I don't mean in an audible voice. I mean in his word. If you're going to hear what God says, you're going to have to look in the word. It's final. It's complete. When God closed the book of the Revelation, it was all complete. And God is giving to us in his book the word that he wants us to hear. None of this para-church and para-Bible revelations that some guy says, "Well, I had a vision last night and God said to me and I saw a statue 90 feet tall and blah, blah, blah." All of that. No. It's what "thus saith the Lord" in the book. What did God say to Moses? What is God saying to you and to me? The psalmist said in 85:8, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." In Exodus 5, Pharaoh asked Moses, "Who is God that I should obey his voice?" He got his answer in 10 installments. And you know the rest of that story. Verse 1, God says, "See what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. I hasten to tell you that God obliterated Pharaoh from the face of the earth in the swirling flood waters of the Red Sea. One day God will destroy every enemy of the Lord Jesus in the singeing, scorching flames of an eternal hell, a lake of fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and forever and forever. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, and the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be revealed in his saints, glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe in that day." John said, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a lesson to learn here. You know, as you drive up and down the highways of the state of Texas, you see frequently a sign that says, "Don't mess with Texas." Well, let me paraphrase that and give you a lesson you need to learn. Don't mess with God. God has the final word. God has the ultimate. He's complete. He's divine. He's sovereign. He's sufficient. And he will judge all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The dead, small and great, standing before him. God says in verse 3, "I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You know, God showed up when Abraham needed him most. When Abraham was going through a time of discouragement. And I want to tell you that God will show up in your hour of discouragement, depression, despondency, despair, deficiency, doubt, defeat, disease, darkness. Even in the hour of death, you can say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." First thing that Abraham did when God appeared to him was to build an altar. That speaks of the cross, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, where he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Jesus said, "Abraham saw my day and was glad." The cross is the starting place. Salvation at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden on my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Everything flows from Calvary. Verse 4, God says, "I also established my covenant with them." We know about the Abrahamic covenant. God promised him the soil and the seed. The soil, that fertile crescent from the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates. And it doesn't matter how loud and long the Arabs, Dr. Norris used to call them the Arabs, how long and how loud they holler about whose land it is, God said, "I gave it to Abraham and his seed, and in Isaac," not in Ishmael, "in Isaac shall thy seed be called." He promised the seed, and the seed is none other than Jesus Christ. Paul gives us his commentary in Galatians 3:16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, as unto Christ." Christ is Abraham's seed, and Christ is our Savior, and we are joint heirs with him. Everything he has belongs jointly to us. We can be happy. In verse 5, God says, "I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel." I'm glad that God hears our groaning tonight. I'm glad there is a system of communication. We call it prayer. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. Here's a royal service built for one and all. When you are in trouble, give this royal line a call. God has his own star system turned on all the time. Push the button labeled prayer. Don't despair. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't look down. Don't look around. Look up and say with the psalmist, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Isaiah 65 and verse 24, "It shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear." Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there among you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will give him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Verse 5b, God says, "I have remembered my covenant." We have a commentary in Psalm 105, verse 8, and verse 9, and 10, and 11. He hath remembered, don't miss this now, he hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and the same unto Jacob, unto Isaac and unto Jacob, and confirmed to Jacob for a law, and unto Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, "Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance." God is not through with Israel, and God is not through with you. God has a plan, a pattern, a program, a prescription for your life. By the way, I should tell you that God's not going to alter his plan to fit your life. He's going to alter you to fit his plan. Get ready for it. God says in verse 6, "I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage." Many a person's in bondage tonight, but Jesus takes all of our burdens and all of our cares, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." God says in the last part of verse 6, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." God is still in the redeeming business. Wherefore, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The arm of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. God says in verse 7, "I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." Wow, what a relationship. Deuteronomy 28 and 9 says, verse 9, "The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself." John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But wait, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Get your reigning clothes on, folks. You know you're looking at a king. Go home and look in the mirror, you'll see another one. Not as good looking, but you'll see another one. Oh, what a wonderful relationship we have with him. He's our God. We're his children. We're his family. God says in verse 8, I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham. God has no halfway house. There's no intermediate state. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Exodus 3:8. Moses said, we're going to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And Lord help me, please add peanut butter. Wow, milk, honey, peanut butter, graham crackers, vanilla wafers. Woo! Won't it be wonderful to get in that land that flows with milk and honey? Right into the presence of God. He says in the last part of verse 8, I will give it you for an inheritance. Listen, folks, God is no Indian giver. He gives and gives and gives and gives the gift that keeps on giving. Hallelujah. Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul said to the Ephesian brethren, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. Boy, it's great to be commended to God, isn't it? And to the word of his grace. Isn't that wonderful? Which is able to build you up, and here it is, and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. God's gifts are eternal life. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He gives us an inheritance among the redeemed. Paul says in Romans 8 at verse 14, for as many, I love this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. Somebody said, well, I wish I could share with Rockefeller's estate or somebody else's estate or somebody else's money. Listen, folks, you got it all. God said you were an heir with his son. You think he's going to withhold anything from his son? Absolutely not. He has a title deed to the world, and we are joint heirs with him. All this, ladies and gentlemen, and heaven too. God gives us a new body to live in a new heaven. God's eternal city, where the sun never sets, where we'll never grow old, where the soul of man never dies. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our home house which is in heaven. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You know what that means? When Jesus died on the cross, listen to me now, it was God in the person of his Son dying for you and for me. And you know what? Jesus didn't make a down payment on our salvation and say, now here's the book, I want you to make the installments. Oh no. Oh no. The sin debt was canceled. And God stamped it, paid in full. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Wow, let's stand please for our prayer. Our heads are bowed and the Holy Spirit speaks.